Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast, brought to you by Harvey Norman's range of the latest and greatest TVs from Samsung, including SUHD, curved and smart TVs.
Massive match coming up Sunday, the 19th of July, 4:40 at Etihad Stadium. Maddie's match. You'll get all sorts of Fight Like Maddie merchandise there, shoelaces, T-shirts, everything you need to know at mrv.org.au. Maddie Riewoldt's vision is dedicated to improving awareness and understanding of bone marrow failure syndromes in young people, to target research and provide support into treatments, prevention and cure. And two men heavily involved in this game are Nick and Jack Riewoldt. They join us now. G'day, boys.
How's it going, mate?
Hey, boys.
It's been an unbelievable week in football, an unbelievable month. And what we've seen, Nick, is the football community's ability to draw together for a cause. It's been quite phenomenal, involving your cause along the way.
Yeah, it has. We've seen it a few times this year, obviously, with the MND game for Neil Danaher at the start of the year. Just recently, in the last couple of weeks, with the tragedy involving Phil Walsh. And, you know, we've experienced it firsthand over the last 4 months since my sister passed away, just how much football people support each other. And we're obviously gearing up for a really big week next week. So can't wait for Maddie's match. It should be a great day. And I know the family, it's going to be tough and emotional, but we're really excited about it at the same time.
What are we expecting? It should be a sellout, seriously. You two are both on fire. You're kicking goals. Teams are both going really well. Should be an absolute beauty.
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be a great game of footy. Sitting back and watching the big fella play, I'm really liking the way the Saints are playing at the moment.
He'll be watching you, Jack, at the minute.
I don't know about that, but
I might be spare man in defence, mate.
He's my new love child.
He's fallen in love with you, Jackie boy.
The way he's going, Jack.
Oh, I'm taking Duck. Sorry about that. no, look, it's going to be a great game of footy. Certainly under the roof at Eddie, had the Saints play a different brand of footy, a really quick brand of footy, and we saw that against Essendon last week. And we're going along nicely at the moment. So, look, they're a young and up-and-coming side with some really young, talented kids. And obviously, where we are at the moment. So it's going to be a great game of footy and obviously a great spectacle with Madeline's match going on.
You can get everything you need at mrv.org.au. That's the place to get your tickets. This is it's a very private and personal issue that you're both going through, but you've brought it out into the public sphere to raise money, which is, I think, is a courageous and wonderful thing. But on that personal line, how are both of you going to approach a game of footy like this? Because I know week in, week out, it's structures and processes and 4 points, but this will be a very different game, especially for the both of you two.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know is the answer, really. I'm not sure how I'm going to go emotionally. I know coming into round one, it was difficult to try and change your focus to play a game of footy. So I think given the fact that both teams are aware of it, all the people going to the game are going to be aware of the emotion around it, it removes a little bit of that pressure. At the end of the day, it's a game of footy, and we're there to really celebrate and promote and raise awareness and raise funds to a really good cause. I mean, this is Maddie's legacy. Yep. Her legacy is one that will save lives, and I can't think of a better impact that anyone could have, you know, in their time on this earth than to save other people's lives. So we'll get through as best we can and hopefully make a difference.
Would it be fair to say, Rui, though, when you actually run out onto the ground, obviously the build-up and everything else, but when you're actually out there playing, it's the one time that your mind does go to just playing, because clearly you've got the Adelaide Crows boys and all that are going to go through that this weekend?
Yeah, you're spot on. Once you're out there and you're within the 2 hours, I mean, it's not something I really think about while you're out there playing footy. Anyone that's played footy and gone through, you know, everyone's got a story. Everyone's had periods of turmoil in their life and they've still got a job to do and, you know, front up to work, 9 till 5, whatever it might be. So everyone's got that. And we're lucky that footy is, you know, that 2 hours is so all-encompassing, so consuming that it's hard to think of anything else.
Nick and Jack Riewoldt are with us. You can get on mrv.org.au. Fight Like Maddie's match. That is Sunday the 19th at Etihad Stadium. If you're going to go to one game of footy this year, that is the one. The boys are going to stick around on the Dead Set Legends, thanks to Harvey Norman on Triple M. From what I've seen in the paper, thanks to your good friends at Budgie Smugglers, boys, you need to answer this, Jack. Wow, that was one of the more amazing photo shoots I've ever seen in the Herald Sun yesterday with you, Nick and BJ, in some really tight, really tight purple Budgie Smugglers.
Yeah, it was pretty cold down there yesterday, Harry. So let's start off by setting that up.
Yeah, well, if you notice, we're actually facing with our bums towards the camera.
I was going to say, no, Matt Shervington's in the group.
No, it's been very strategic, the way we set up. But we've been really fortunate. The support we've received right across the board has been amazing. Everyone that's followed this story knows that purple was Maddie's favourite colour, so that the purple budgie smugglers, which are available. People can buy those if they like from the website mrv.org.au. And Nike have been amazing. They've come to the party and made us some custom-made boots in Maddie's favourite purple, which we'll be wearing with the hashtag Fight Like Maddie. So that's great. So there's T-shirts, shoelaces. You know, we've branded basically everything we possibly can. Tattoos, temporary tattoos. The
footies.
Footies.
Just temporary.
Yeah, just temporary ones, mate.
You boys have spent a lot of time growing up together, sort of down in Tasmania, and families being split up and hanging out with each other. Both of you. Firstly, you, Jack. What are your first memories of your cousin, and what type of man was he growing up?
Well, Nick obviously moved way back up to the Gold Coast when I was about 4 years old, but my family sort of followed a little bit after that. My real first memories is when I was a real young kid, and we went on holiday up to the Gold Coast to see Nick's family and another side of our family up there as well. And Nick was playing, I think, for the Broadbeach Cats.
That's right.
And Madeline and myself and Alex, Nick's younger brother, didn't see much of the game because we spent most of the day gluing 5-cent piece coins together and putting them in as $2 coins into the candy machine, and we took the whole thing. So
did that, didn't they?
Yeah, no. So that's probably one of my first memories. There it was a pretty eventful trip, that one, actually. And watching the big fella play was it obviously started to develop my love of footy. I actually played soccer until I was 13 years of age, and then as soon as the big fella got drafted, I thought, geez, that's not a bad path. I wouldn't mind treading those footsteps.
Mine of Jack is when Jack was first drafted and he came over, and I was at Flying Start, and Jack came to Flying Start, and I was pretty well established
yes.
by that stage. I was going okay, and had a car deal and Nike sponsorship, and Jack just couldn't work out why he didn't have one yet. He kept asking, so when do I get my car and when do I get my Nike deal?
Well, it's funny you say that, Rui, because
he's got one now.
Of course he does. He's actually slowly morphing into the way you play, believe it or not. Yeah. I mean, the way Jack played, and I mentioned this last night on air, I love the way he's going about it. Clearly, you're a centre four that roams far and wide, your endurance, and you get around the ground, push back into 50. Jack, I always thought, was more of the stay at home, and I remember saying to Damien Hardwick and was critical that, you know, don't let Jack outside 50. Now the way he gets around the ground, very similar to the big cousin.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I've changed my role a little bit. I've probably been playing a little bit more half forward, just setting my man up and getting into positions where a lot of key defenders don't want to defend. They like to obviously see everything and see the whole ground and be that general down back. So for me, it's probably more of an undersized key position player. The development of Ben Griffiths and Tyrone Vickery has certainly helped my development as well. So we're sort of feeding off each other nicely. And they've been able to hold down those key pillars for us, which has allowed me to roam a little bit more free. So I've just enjoyed that part of the game this year. Obviously, we've developed some really good bonds in between our smaller groups in our backline, midfield and forward line. Which has helped us play some pretty good footy this year.
Jack, a lot of people wouldn't realise that you and me combined nearly caused one of the biggest disasters ever at the St Kilda Football Club when early doors, the three of us did a rising star story with Jack, and we went out sailing, Nick, and you came with us, and you were sort of the, you know, don't tell me I know boats type of customer, big sailor, and Jack and I are chatting away, and there was a little tack, I believe they call it. The boom swung.
I remember this.
Remember when the boom swung and the big boy nearly got knocked out overboard?
Yeah, you meant to give the heads up, which didn't come, and yeah, I was almost in the drink. I remember that.
Yeah, it was on Port Phillip Bay in the St Kilda glory days, and I remember thinking, imagine if we had to ring Ross Lyon and say the big boy's overboard and we can't get hold of him.
That would have gone well with
Rossy. Yeah, it would have gone.
Wally on water. Now, Nick, would be remiss of us not to mention your form. You've been sensational. Josh Bruce up there takes a little bit of pressure off.
Yeah, he does. I'm really enjoying playing with both him and Tim Membry and Paddy McCartan's doing some great stuff in the twos, Hugh Goddard. So there are a lot of great young forwards to work with down at the club at the moment, which is great. For an older player, it really gives you a different tack to take with your leadership. So I'm loving that. Brucey's been terrific. So really, as long as I'm sort of still getting the best defender most weeks, and I hope he kicks 10 this week, Brucey, so then he gets rants next week. it's been good. It's been enjoyable. The way we're playing is terrific. Richo's got us playing a good brand, and it's exciting. Footy's fun at the moment.
Sunday the 19th of July, 4:40 at Etihad Stadium, Maddie's match. There'll be all sorts of merchandise there. Jump on mrv.org.au. As I said earlier on, get yourself involved, get yourself to this game, because I think it'll be one of those great moments in the AFL calendar. Jack and Nick, thanks very much for your time. Best of luck for you, GWS, and best of luck for you just relaxing after a big win
thanks,
for the
boys.
Tees.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate
big draw next week.
That's it.
That's it. Mark Howe, Wayne Carey with the Rewalt Boys on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Ducky boy, our next guest, Jesse Carson. This man's a freak.
Quite remarkable, this, Howie.
Well, he's a freak. He just won the Trans Am bike race, which is basically across America. Jump on at DS Legends on Twitter, at DS Legends, and you'll see the map. Basically, he rode across the United States starting on June 6th, 6,772 kilometres.
Is that double the length of the Tour de France?
It is, double the length of the Tour de France. It took him over 18 days, and he won. He's on the line now. He's a Brunswick man. G'day, Jesse.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Oh, more importantly, mate, how are you? This is tell us about this race. It's captivated Duck and I. We've been looking at it this morning. Let the audience know a little bit about it. It's an unbelievable effort.
Yeah, look, I think the main thing to think about with this is throw away the Tour de France. This is an unsupported race. So you have to carry everything you need along the way to survive in the wilderness. You have to carry all your food and water, find yourself a place to sleep. Yeah, there's no masseuses, there's no team cars or anything like that. You're out in the wilderness by yourself. So, yeah, it's quite a long race. Took me just under 19 days. There were about 45 riders from around the world who entered it. And, yeah, finished up about 2 weeks ago. So I'm feeling like an 85-year-old these days.
So Jesse, you can sleep wherever you want. If you wanted to, you could just pull up, stay in a hotel. There are no rules. But the intriguing thing for me is while you're sleeping, you'd be thinking, are they coming? Are they still riding while I'm sleeping?
Yeah, the funny thing is one of the seasoned guys in who I respect, like he thinks of it like being a fugitive. really, it's quite weird. So when you sleep, you're setting your alarm clock. That's part of the race.
I'll be all right at this.
When you're in the supermarket, you're rushing around. That's part of the race. When you're sitting down to try to get a meal, that's part of the race. So everything's part of the race. It's, you're constantly getting chased down. So, yeah, it's part of the fun, but it's also, like an extended nightmare in a way.
Well, you mentioned an extended nightmare, Jesse. So people can stop whenever they want. So if you had it in, you could just ride nonstop until you literally collapse. So the mental battle you must face when you're thinking, I'm cooked, I just need an hour, but what are those blokes around me doing? It must be so draining.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I guess that's the difference between this and traditional racing. You can sort of sustain that, that mental effort being hunted down or chasing for, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. But this really extends it over a couple of weeks. So really, it comes down to not being so much about fitness and riding in itself, but it's more about dealing with that, the mental strain of just having to keep going and going and going.
Jesse, what's the longest time you've gone without a rest?
Oh, I don't know. In that event, probably a bit over 24 hours, maybe 25 or 26 hours. Oh, actually, no, I lay down for 10 minutes towards the end. I was getting a bit.
You're a lazy bugger, Jesse. You're getting slack. So do you know where they are? Do you have a GPS map, or how do you know where your competition is and how much you might be in front or how much work you need to do?
Yeah, so everyone has a little GPS tracker. So, my partner's back at Curve Cycling, they could check on me, and my friends and family around the world, they could check where you were. And you could also log in and check where your competitors are. And that can be a pretty tough thing, because when you're in the middle of a storm, you think, oh, well, it's the same for everyone. But in these races, it isn't. So if they're 200 Ks behind you, you could be in the middle of a storm and they're getting a free ride. And mentally, that can crack you at times.
It's an unbelievable effort, Jesse. It says there's no prize money. There's actually not really even a trophy. It's just the satisfaction that you've done the job. Is that how you look at it?
Yeah, look, it's if you're a racer at heart, why not try to take on the biggest and baddest races around? And with these sorts of things, it's an established route. And, people have just gone, well, how fast can we ride it? So it's sort of like a traditional gentleman's race, people just turn up and ride the race. It's all tracked on GPS. There's no prize money. There's no entry fee. So it's, they're quite underground events. They're gaining a bit of popularity around the world, particularly in Europe. And so really, I think there's no amount of prize money really that could push people through something like that. It's really that sort of internal motivation that gets you through. So.
Jesse, what sort of bike are you using? Because are there all sorts of bikes? It looks like it's a hybrid type style.
Yeah, well, actually, I wanted to try to build the ultimate touring bike, really. So I'm involved in a bike business called Curve Cycling. So I rode one of our titanium road frames.
Yep.
So really, it's just a traditional road racing bike. So not a heavy steel touring bike with, lots of bags hanging off it and all that sort of thing. This was a really stripped down, lightweight road racing bike. So really trying to balance comfort, weight and safety. There's a lot of climbing in this event. So you're climbing Mount Everest, I think, 8 or 9 times essentially over the course. Wow. So you really have to keep the weight down. Every extra, gram you feel on those big climbs. So you really have to balance weight you're often compromising comfort, but making sure you're safe as well. So you don't want to freeze to death up on the top of a mountain in Colorado. So you need to take appropriate equipment for that. At the same time, you don't want to be lugging around, huge amounts of weight. Mm.
Jesse, it's a fascinating race. Congratulations on taking the win and spending us a little bit of time explaining it to us on the Dead Set Legends. As I said, you can check out your map on @DSLegends on Twitter, mate. Congratulations, Jesse.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
Jesse Carlson, that's imagine them chasing you down, Ducky, and you think, I just need a sandwich, they're coming.
I reckon there'd be a lot of people with the right promotion that'd get involved in this. This is a real test of endurance.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, thanks to Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Duck, our next guest, well, he is a freak. He's just one of those blokes that everything falls into his lap. He's a television superstar, he's got a young family, and someone is giving him a Ferrari to drive around at Townsville this weekend.
It's not a bad gig.
No, it's not, and you love him because I love the Family Feud.
Oh, I love Family Feud, my favourite show.
All right, we'll get to that shortly. Grant Denyer, TV superstar, joins us on the line. Hello, great man.
Hello, gents. How are you, boys?
Very good.
Someone is giving you a Maranello Motorsport Ferrari to drive around Townsville as fast as you like.
I know. It's hilarious, isn't it?
I wouldn't be giving you the Ferrari, great man.
Oh, there's just something about that beautiful, deep, rich Italian glowing red that just makes the heart skip a beat. I found the thing just underneath the end of a rainbow, and that gave me the keys and said, off you go, there's a racetrack, fun, enjoy.
A lot of people wouldn't realise you've been driving all sorts of vehicles for a long, long time. You may be a TV superstar, but motorsport's your passion, mate.
Yeah, it's pretty fun, like everybody sort of thinks that I sort of started motor racing started TV and then went into motorsport, but it's in fact the other way around. I've been racing karts since I was a kid and won a couple of state titles and then went into utes and won a championship there and then through the V8 ranks. But I only in fact got into television just to find sponsors for my motorsport because I wasn't really from a rich family who could afford to do it. So because I wanted to be a racing car driver, I thought, now how do you find sponsors? You know what? I'll be on TV.
That's it, and it's worked out perfectly. A lot of people won't realise, Duck, this is a man I used to work with at Channel 10. We used to do motorsport together,
You both went the same path, in a way. Motorsport and then into, being mega superstars.
Yeah, one of us on Struggle Street and one of us living on Bondi, but anyway, that's another story.
I don't have the golden tan, though, that Howie's got. The delicious golden tan that is him.
The lifestyle, just hanging around at the beach.
Did we have some wild nights? Me and Grant would go out doing the motorsport and have 2.5 cans each and wouldn't wake up for 4 days. I remember those days, great man.
It was good, man. I've always loved my motorsport and hanging around sort of with the likes of Lounsey and Scapey in the day. Those are my heroes. So, being able to hold a microphone in pit lane was the beginning of my TV career. But, it's just sort of rocked along, and it's good to hear that Wayne Carey, the great man himself, is a massive fan of The Feud. You may be a very happy man just hearing that.
Grant, I am a massive fan. I watch it every night, even on the weekends now. It's on just about every night of the week. I absolutely love it. But what I can't understand, I sit there because I think the reason why we all love it is because it is, we think it's so simple. So we think we can get the answers. What confuses me, I know you go out there and do surveys, it might be hamburger might be one of the answers, and then the next answer is a Big Mac. That's a bloody hamburger, Grant.
I like to hear you so passionate about our 100 people we survey, mate. It is just a game show after all. You don't need to take that seriously. But it's funny, everyone plays along at home, and every person that comes to the show goes, watch this, going to ace it, going to get the highest score ever, going to clean you out of car and cash. And they're usually the families that go home with 0 points on the front of their podium and their tail between their legs. It's something about it. Yeah, you can play at home, and that's obviously one of the great strengths of the format. But gee, it's nice to go to work and and just sort of laugh your way through your day and have as much fun as we have. Like, it's our first birthday for Stanley Feud next week, and we did record ratings last week. So it's really lovely that, you know, Australia's embraced the feud.
Mate, congratulations on that. I do want to ask, how do you get some people to tell you their most embarrassing, non-funny stories live on TV?
It seems to be all I do is just end up just taking the piss out of everybody. But it's... Yeah, look, if there's ever been a shadowy moment in your life, you know that the moment you come on Family Feud, we're going to bring it up for the whole country to enjoy.
Well, there could be a full series if you get the duck on, Grant.
Well, mine, you got another couple of three family members, mate?
Mine are interesting and funny, how.
That's exactly right. Hey, mate, best of luck this weekend in Townsville. In all seriousness, what are you hoping to achieve in that beautiful motor vehicle?
Yeah, cool. I'm sharing with a V8 supercar driver by the name of Tony D'Alberto, and with their little mini endurance races, these ones. So he put it on pole. I just put it on in fifth position. So, you know, it should work out that, you know, we'll finish on the podium, hopefully. So I've been out of the game for about four to five years, so it's all a bit new for me. But to crank out and sort of fifth fastest, I'm pretty happy with.
Hey, Grant, we really appreciate your time, mate. Best of luck this weekend. The Fampy Feud is dominating. You've got the Great Australian Spelling Bee coming up as well. So you're flying as always, mate.
Love your work, boys. Thanks for your interest.
Yeah, he's a great man. Grant Denyer. Keep an eye out for him this weekend at Townsville. On Network 10, you'll see it all. Mark Howard, Wayne Carey, the Dead Set Legends. Thanks to Harvey Norman on Triple M. Ducky boy, the cricket. Oh, the cricket, mate. We're in serious trouble.
I got home last night, Howie, from the footy. Stayed up till 1:30 last night.
Yes.
We're going no good.
No, we're not going any good. We were knocked over very, very cheaply. Lost 5 for not many. And then England came out last night in 70 overs, bowled out for 289. Bell the star with 60 alongside 60 for Joe Root.
I've got another lookalike for you.
Who's that?
Rudy.
Joe Root.
You look a little bit like him.
I wish I could bat like him. We need 412 to win with 2 days to play. And the man to bring us up to date, you've got to get to cricket.com.au. It's got all the news. You've got highlights. It's the only place to go. And Andrew Ramsey is the senior writer there. He is in the UK. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Well, to be honest, Andrew, I love my cricket and I'm a little bit flat because 412, I don't think anyone's made that in England. Probably the Invincibles might have chased 404, 405 back in Bradman's day. We don't have Bradman at three. We've got Smith, but by gee, it's a long haul.
I don't think... Are they talking about the fact that they only need to make two and over because they've got 2 days to get there? But I think they might need a little bit more than 2 days. They might need a hell of a lot of luck.
Well, that's exactly what I was just saying to Howie. Why is that so hard? You've got 2 days, 400 runs, you've got all your wickets in hand. Why hasn't that been done since the ships hit Australia?
Since the war, pretty much.
Yeah.
The trouble is you had 3 days of traffic on that pitch and it wasn't a great pitch to start with, so it was a bit slow and sluggish. And by now it's got footmarks, it was actually denting up in the first couple of days. The ball was leaving little pock marks on the surface, so it does strange things. I think we saw Joe Root get bowled. Anyone can get a ball through his defence these days. He's obviously doing something magic, so that stayed low and got through, hit his stumps. So I think those sort of things, you're just going to get one of those balls every now and then that does what you don't expect. So staying in there is one thing. Scoring runs is at the same time is going to be another. So you just have to assume that people don't make big scores in fourth innings for a reason, and the reason is that the conditions deteriorate and it's bloody difficult, really.
Now Johnson got 2, Hazelwood got 2, Stark got 2, Nathan Lyon continues his wonderful form, 20.1 overs, 4 for 75. When I was watching, Stark really had a big limp up, Andrew. Have you got an update on his situation with the ankle? The second test, obviously these days, it's not like you go and play two tour games and then front up 15 days later. They don't usually get much of a break between tests. Without Stark, we're going to Peter Siddle territory.
Well, yeah, I haven't actually had the official diagnosis. We've been asking a few questions about what the problem is, whether it's a structural thing, whether he's turned it somewhere, but they tell us that they don't want to give the opposition an advantage by giving details of what the injury is. I'm not sure what they're expecting Alistair Cook to go up and kick him in the
bad
ankle,
Andrew,
or something like that. No, that's what I thought. How much damage can you do? But there is only 3 days between the end of this test, if it goes the distance, and there's a game starting at Lord, so you have to think he's under a cloud, in which case you've got Peter Siddle there, who's been bowling pretty well, or you've got Pat Cummins, who's got off a plane 3 days ago and hasn't played a first-class match in about 2 years. So either way, you're kind of hitting into uncharted territory.
Well, Andrew, why don't we just treat this like a 2020 game then and go out there? No, seriously, if you can't last the 2 days and win it, why don't we go out there, have a tonk? It's win or lose, but you give yourself a chance to win it, and it's going to be entertaining for the crowd.
Have a tonk, Andrew, my man says.
Well, why wouldn't you do
it's
that?
Not a bad, it does sound completely stupid, I know, but in fact, it may not be a bad theory because the rationale is that one of those balls is going to come along with your name on it, so you may as well swing like a rusty gate while you can.
Rain, Andrew. Any chance of rain?
412. Well, they were talking heavy showers on Sunday. If they can limp through until then, there might be. But even that's dissipated a bit. Now they're talking the occasional light shower. So I reckon that the scheduled 6 sessions, you might get 5 in. And if you can bat 5 sessions, you deserve to save a test
match. Exactly,
but
right.
I just don't think they're going to get the runs.
Andrew, you get your boxer shorts on, go out on your veranda and do a rain dance for us, because I think that's our only hope. We appreciate your time and we love everything on cricket.com.au. It's a wonderful website.
Thanks, mate. And just thank God it's not a video phone.
Andrew Ramsey from Cardiff, who in one way or the other called you stupid, which I enjoyed.
It was a fantastic idea, just because you didn't come up with it.
I've seen some of your fantastic ideas. They haven't worked out that well. Mark Howard, Wayne Carey, the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Dark, a big tournament taking place in Papua New Guinea at the moment. The Pacific Games, 21 nations, 28 sports and disciplines, and the World Game is being represented in an under-23 form.
It's an interesting place, PNG, Howie. Have
fantastic
you ever been there?
Fantastic place. Some of the best waves in the world.
One of my best mates lives over that way, Stefan Dwyer. So I want to ask this man whether he knows him, because all the expats, they get together because it's a fairly dangerous spot.
Port Moresby is, but you get out on the coast, Duck, but yeah. that's how his tours. Another story for another day. Now, this man, Stan Foster, is the coach of Micronesia. They've had 3 games so far. They got done 30-0 in soccer against Tahiti.
What?
38-0 against Fiji.
Aussie rules game or something?
No, it wasn't. It was soccer. And 46-0 last start against Vanuatu. The coach, Stan, joins us on the line. G'day, Stan. Thanks for having a chat with us.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be doing it.
Hey, great to speak with you. I'm no analyst, Stan, but it seems like you've got a problem with your defence.
I'm just putting it mildly. Look, these boys that I know, I emphasise the word boys. Mm. When I did the selection, I got kids mainly under 18, mainly because this is a build-up team. We're looking at maybe another 8 years, another 2 more games before we actually become competitive, because on these islands, basketball and volleyball rule supreme. And I had to start off with a grassroots team, and that's why the scores were unrealistic for a game of soccer. I mean, in Australia, those sort of scores were what I was sort of used to as a whole total at the end of a season, not just in one game.
Stan, what's your salary cap like? You might have to go overseas and recruit a few, I think.
We have 2 coconuts, you know, per player.
2 coconuts.
And how's your goalie shaping up? In 3 games, he's let 114 into the back of the net. I would have thought he'd need a bit of a cuddle from the coach and a little bit of a pump-up, because he's had a tough 3 games.
Yeah, well, we had to, two goalkeepers shared the duties, 1.5 games each. I've got a squad of 18. I made sure everybody had some experience out in the field. Yeah, he's recovered, and actually they're all emotionally recovered. They're actually so keen now to get back to the islands and start training for the next 4 years for the next games.
By the sounds of things, Stan, you're better off putting both goalies in the goal at the same time.
Oh, come on, guys. You've got to start somewhere.
No, you do, Stan. What about your forward setup? Obviously, they haven't found the back of the net at this stage, but as you said, this is a slow burn. This is moving forward in an 8-year program.
That's correct. Like the old saying is, you know, mighty trees grow from little acorns, and these guys are my little acorns, and I wouldn't swap them for any other team, actually, at the moment, because the morale is just so high, and the hurt has been somewhat alleviated by the experience they've had here. A lot of these guys haven't left their villages before. You know, like when I took them to Guam for the first time, they had a 2-week together. They had a 2-week camp with Guam under the help of Guam Football Association. And when we went to Guam, it was sometime that the guys had never been on an elevator or an escalator.
Wow.
So I had to take them out to show them how to use these things. And modern conveniences, you know, like television stuff is... You know, it's not impossible to watch it on the island, but, yeah, it's sort of a rare thing to have, and nobody has those on their cost too much.
Hey, Stan, big tick to you because you sound like a very positive man. You got these young kids coming through. And I've got to say, Howie, I love all the parents out there that coach, you know, junior footy sides inside, especially when they're going through this. You have to stay positive. By the sounds of things, that's exactly what you're doing, Stan. So good stuff.
Stan, the Federated States of Micronesia, where you're based, we do a segment on this show, Howie's Tours. I haven't spent a great deal of time over there. Good waves in your part of the world?
Look, mate, that's one thing I really miss because I come from down the south coast and used to do a lot of surfing. And here, there's, the coral reefs out here are pretty tricky, and I'm virtually the only guy here that knows does a bit of surfing, and it's just too dangerous to go by yourself. You get shredded on the coral.
Stan, I'm coming. I'd like to play on your side, and we'll go surfing together. Hey, Stan, we appreciate your time. We did have a laugh with you, but as your duck said, great to see your passion, and you just build it goal at a time, Stan. I reckon you'll get the win soon, and when you do, we'd love to get you on.
That was it. Hey, will do. Okay. Great talking to you guys. Thanks very much for your help. Compliments. Thanks, bye.
Hey, passion.
Passion. Micronesia.
Maybe that's their Federated problem. States.
Little two.
I don't reckon your gag about putting the two goalies in the goal at the same time went over that.
That's why I pumped him up after
Mark, how wank, Gary. He's real flat on that old stand. Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
This is Dead Set Legends on Triple M, thanks to Harvey Norman. Now, last week, one of the most popular new segments on the show, Howie, this has grown real legs. Howie's Tours was absolutely magnificent.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We'd like to welcome you aboard Howie's Tours.
Oh, absolutely love. What an opener. Now, we spent all our budget on that. Now, like I said, I've got a lot of feedback during the week, Howie. Everyone's wondering where we're going. Last week, we went to Egypt and found out a lot of stuff that you can actually eat off the street and all that type of stuff. So let's find out. Let's spin the wheel and find out where we're going on Howie's Tours this week.
We are going to...
Bolivia!
Bolivia, ducky boy. What do you know about Bolivia, brother?
Nothing.
That's the benefit of Howie's Tours.
It sounds like Olivia.
Well, it's a small landlocked country in South America. Yep. Do you know anything about it?
Not a lot.
Well, okay. Now, the best thing about Bolivia, ducky, very, very cheap.
They play soccer there.
They do, but they've got a massive advantage because it's at such altitude, they never lose at home. The main city, La Paz, is at 3,660 metres, so twice as high as Mount Kosciuszko.
Well, when they come down a little bit, Howie, they'd be fitter than everyone else, surely.
And the ball, you go and watch the soccer up there, this is without a word of a lie, the ball travels further when they're playing soccer. It's quite remarkable. Now, the things you need to know about Bolivia, very cheap, duck. You can get a nice room with breakfast for $5.
$5?
$5.
Wow.
Five star costs you about 30 bucks.
Can't breathe there, but you can get a cheap room.
You can drink about 40 cents a stubby.
Wow.
You're thinking it's you're going to Bolivia.
You're starting to win me over with Bolivia.
A couple of things you don't want to do when you go to Bolivia. You normally get to La Paz, which is the main city. You don't fly in, duck, from sea level, because when you get off at 3,500 metres, automatic altitude sickness. It's like getting smacked in the head. Honestly, when you go to get your bag off the carousel, you really start breathing hard. And as you're going to sleep at night, first night, when your breathing slows down, it feels like you're choking because the altitude is so high.
How many people would know that? This is why we have to do Howie's Tours.
That's exactly right.
Because if you didn't know that, you just fly in there and
bang!
Bang, no
so
good.
So you've got to get a nice bus ride so you can just slowly. Just, now, the second thing. Last week, I told you about you eat the food off the side of the road in Egypt.
Not
in Bolivia,
Guru.
Now, my
what
man
sort of
Timmy,
stuff are they serving?
Well, my man Timmy, we were told do not never eat chicken in Bolivia. We're travelling on a nice little bus ride. He's that hungry. He said, mate, I need something. And we pull over and there's a chicken stand. I said, don't do it, brother. He's like, mate, I need to do it. I said, Timmy, don't do it, brother. Half hour later, he's green as
anything.
And I told you.
Wasn't chicken?
And that wasn't, well, our Spanish wasn't very good. And he says to tell the bus driver, mate, you tell this bloke, if he doesn't pull over, I'm going to stick my ass out the window and let fly. And I said, how am I going to say that in Spanish, brother? So that's rule number two.
Yep.
Don't eat chicken off the side of the road. The things you need to do when you're in Bolivia, you start in La Paz. You need to go to San Pedro Prison, ducky. Have you ever read the book Marching Powder?
I have.
Well, prison.
You can pay to go in there.
You can. It will pay. It's basically a bribe. So if you get there the right day, you go in there. This is remarkable. This is a prison, ducky boy. I've been in there where you have to pay or rent your own cell.
So you went in. Did you stay overnight?
No, ducky boy. I can't compete with you because you've stayed. overnight but in prisons. But that's a different story.
I've read the book. Yes. It's an amazing prison. So you went in there. How long were you
there
for?
It is. You're in there for about 5 or 6 hours. You can meet all the prisoners. I saw a bloke, and this is without a word of a lie, I saw a bloke in there with a hot tub. In his prison cell.
In his
prison cell. But the typical cell, you've got about 6 or 7 blokes in there. So go to San Pedro Prison. The second thing you must do...
Doesn't sound like a real tough prison.
Well, if you've got 6 blokes in there in a 1 metre broom closet, it's pretty tough. If you're in the high rise with the... Yep. The second thing, you need to go to Lake Titicaca, the highest natural lake in the world. You just relax, ducky. The snow-peaked mountains around you, the water, it is beautiful. But the number one thing you must do when you go to Bolivia is venture into the Amazon, ducky. The Amazon, blow your whiskers off. What you need to do, you need to get on a small bus to a place called Rurrenabaque. Have you got that, Ducky?
How do you remember all these names?
Well, you need to be taking notes and how he's doing.
Cha-cha and...
Rurrenabaque. When you get there, now, I told you about the pyramids last week and you had to find fantastic Mr. Fox to look after you.
Yes.
Well, when you go to Rurrenabaque, you've got to ask for Mr. Perro Grande.
You're unbelievable.
This is true. Yeah. Perro Grande, which means in Spanish, big dog.
Oh, right.
So you ask for the big dog. He takes you out on a tour of the Amazon. He was meant to take us on a 3-day tour. I think the Perro Grande got a bit lost because 8 days in, Ducky, when we run out of food, he's saying, no, we're good, we're good.
That's a fairly dangerous little
spiders,
jungle there, the Amazon.
Snakes, the works. But the most amazing thing I saw Perro Grande do, he took us out one night on a night walk and he said, we're going looking for El Crocodilo, which is the crocodile.
I got that one.
This is a true story, Ducky. Yep. He's spotting the crocodile's eyes in the lakes because they glow red.
Yes. Yep.
And then El Crocodilo is in there and Perro Grande says, stand there, boy. So we're in the middle of the Amazon, 8 days from nowhere. He peels off his shirt, dives in and wrestles a crocodile in front of his duck.
You're kidding
jumps me. Out, Perro Grande holding a 2-metre crocodile in his arms, saying, I wanted to show you
how
boys
big,
a crocodile.
How big was this dude? Is this a part of the tour? I'm going.
This is. So ask for Perro Grande,
I tell you
the
what,
big dog.
Howie, I'm loving Howie's tours because right now I'm saying I'm going to Bolivia. I'm loving Bolivia. Way better than Egypt.
That's exactly right. So
way
you want to
better.
Get right.
I'm going.
All right. So make sure you go to Bolivia. As I said, 50 cents a beer. You can't go wrong. Duck, they've never seen the likes of you in Bolivia. Get there. It's good fun. Mark Howard, Wayne Carey, Jack Rewalt to join us next. I reckon Howie's tools are flying. Where are we going to go next week, Ducky? We might go to Africa.
But I mightn't be here. I'll be in Bolivia.
Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by Harvey Norman's range of the latest and greatest TVs from Samsung, including SUHD, curved and smart TVs.